Dan, we thank the Lord for that. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we've got a haven of rest that we can find shelter in, aren't you?
Amen.
The Lord is the shelter, our shelter in a time of storm. I'm thankful for that. But also, as the psalmist said and as the song said, I'm glad that He's my shepherd too. Amen. Because He promises us there that I shall not want. Amen. Perfect contentment with the Lord this morning. Let's take our Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'd like to bring a message this morning on something that every believer needs. I hope today that you long for it, desire it. I hope today that you are experiencing it. You say, well, what is it? It's called victory. Victory. Every one of us as children of God, believers in Christ, and part of the body of the church, we need victory. And we'll see some of those areas of victory that we need. There may be some struggles in your life today that you're needing victory over. There may be some doubts or fears that are creeping up into your life that are preventing you from being all that you can be for God. And you need victory. There may be some enemies that you are encountering that you need victory over. There may be some emotions that you are experiencing right now that you need victory over. But whatever they are, God assures us that we can have the victory. I thank the Lord for the great old song, Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Praise the Lord. I'm glad of that, aren't you? And today that you and I can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, if you'll stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of God's Word, I want to read verses 54 through 57. You'll find three times the word victory is mentioned in these four verses, three times. He says in verse 54, So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, it's consumed. It's taken care of. It's literally taken out of the way. Death. Praise the Lord. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to bring a message this morning entitled, Where is thy victory? Now I realize Paul, writing here under the inspiration of God, was asking the question of is there victory in death? Do you realize in the child of God, there is victory even in death? For to be absent from the body is what? Death. But for the child of God, it means to be present with the Lord. That is victory. Amen? That's when we pass from death unto life. That's only one area of victory that God assures us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a great one. Amen? Because we know that the last enemy that'll be destroyed, that'll be conquered victorious, is what? Death. That's the last enemy. The Bible says that death is the last enemy that'll ever be destroyed. And one day the Lord is going to conquer that forever and forever. And we're thankful for that. I ask you the question this morning, where is thy victory? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence, we thank you, Lord, for this glorious passage of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, that the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, I pray today that you would give us, Lord, victory in our daily walk with you and in our service, Lord. We know that there are many enemies out there that we encounter. There are many difficulties. There are many strongholds, many sins. Lord, many foes that are out there wanting to conquer us. But Lord, today we have victory in you and we're thankful for that. May we see the victory. May we hear the victory. May we experience the victory in Christ Jesus today, our Lord and Savior. Father, if there's one here today that's lost, Lord, that has been conquered by sin and by Satan. Lord, give that one salvation victory today. Lord, victory over death, hell, and the grave by saving their souls. Lord, I pray, challenge our hearts today through the Word of God, and we'll thank You and praise You. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I thought I'd start the sermon out by asking you if there's anyone in here that can spell the word victory. Anybody at all? We got any spelling bees? Okay, okay, I'm fixing to call her victory. Okay, Judy? Wrong. Wrong. Anybody else? No. Okay, Olivia. Amen. That does spell victory. But the victory that I want to spell today is spelled another way. It's spelled C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ. That is the victory, folks. That is how you spell victory. That's how you and I, as believers today, spell victory. It's Christ. C-H-R-I-S-T. The Bible reminds us in Psalms chapter 98 in verse number 1 that the Lord hath gotten the victory. In our text, the Bible says, but thanks be unto God which giveth us. That means you and me the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So believers that we can do. And Paul writes there by saying, I can do what? All things. How? Through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's Christ that gives the victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says this, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. The word triumph is just another word for victory. It means that we have conquered, that we've overcome, and that we have been victorious. And how does that triumph come? It comes through Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. The Bible says, In all these things, we are more than conquerors, overcomers, victors through Him, that is Christ, who loved us. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells us that through Christ we have the victory over tribulation. We have victory over famine, over nakedness, over peril, over sword, over death and life and angels and principalities and powers and things present and things to come. He said we have victory over the heights, over the depths, and any creature out there that tries to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, Paul says we have victory over that. And that victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember this morning, that during Jesus' earthly ministry, He taught His disciples that they could experience victory in their daily walk with Him. That they could experience victory every day of their life. They didn't have to go around with their heads hung low. They didn't have to go around living defeated type lives and their lives poisoned with self-pity, where they felt sorry for themselves continually. God wanted the disciples to experience a life of great victory. The word victory means conquest or triumph. It means success in a competition or in a struggle. And there's not a one of us, excuse me, here this morning that does not enjoy the art of winning. How many of you like to win? How many of you are good winners? How many of you are bad losers? Okay, thank you for your honesty. I don't like to lose either. But I've lost a lot of contests over the years. But I'm thankful today that in Christ Jesus, we are all winners and we always will be winners. The word victory also means to win over an opponent or a difficult problem. It means to overcome or to gain control over someone or something. Now, the Word of God teaches us that during Jesus' earthly ministry, we know that He performed many glorious and miraculous miracles in those 3.5 years that He walked the face of this earth. And some of these great miracles that He wrought during that earthly ministry were victories to the apostles, and they were promises of victory to you and me. We know that one of the great miracles that He wrought was miracles over the darkness. Over darkness. And when the Bible speaks of darkness, He talks about spiritual blindness. And what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, He's conquered spiritual blindness for us. In other words, the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, when He says this, He says that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, shine unto them. We're thankful today that God has conquered, that the Lord Jesus Christ in His death and glorious resurrection has conquered darkness for you and me. Sin no longer has dominion over us. The strongholds that once held our life and bound us to a life of sin and degradation, today we have victory over darkness through our Lord Jesus Christ. He also taught us that the Lord Jesus had victory over the depths. We remember the story on numerous occasions that I've preached from Mark's Gospel chapter 4 when Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, and there was a great storm of wind out on the Sea of Galilee, and the ship was tossed to and fro, and the apostles were at wit's end, and they came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Master, carest not that we perish?" And the Lord Jesus awoke there, and He rebuked the winds and the waves, and the Bible says that the apostles marveled and said, "Behold, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey His voice?" Victory. The Lord Jesus gives victory over the storms. Think about that today, that any storm that you and I may be having in our life, it may be a literal storm. It may be a hurricane. It may be a tornado. It may be some great thunderstorm or other type of storm that may appear in our lives. But I'm assure you that God will give us victory through that. It may be a financial storm. It may be a storm at work. It may be a marital storm. It may be a parental storm in your life. But whatever the storm is, the Bible assures us that God will give us victory over that storm. The Bible also teaches that the Lord Jesus had power over the demons. Think about that today. I'm thankful, as I've said many times before, that as a child of God, I cannot be possessed by demons. I cannot be possessed. As a true believer in Christ, you cannot be possessed by demons, nor of the devil. But listen here, we can be used of them. We can be oppressed. If we yield to that demon oppression, if we give in to the desires of our flesh, yes, we can be used of the devils of this world. But God assures us that you and I can overcome, and we can be victorious over that demonic oppression today. Folks, there is a lot of demonic oppression out there in this world today. There is a lot of demonic possession today. I believe a lot of what we see in Washington, what we see in education, what we see in religion today is demonic activity out there. But God has assured us through Christ Jesus, you and I can have victory over that. That should be something that we should give thanks for. The Lord Jesus also taught that we could have victory over deformities and disease. We know that time and time again throughout the Gospels, the Bible says that Jesus healed all manner of sickness and disease that was among them. There was not one sick person that Jesus did not pass by that He did not make better. that he did not heal them, that he did not raise them from the dead. Think about that. And the great miraculous work that he does, what kind of victory does that assure you and I of today? Of spiritual healing in our life. Spiritual healing. I'm thankful today that spiritually I can be healed. If you remember in the book of Isaiah 53, when the Word of God says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He also goes on and tells us in Isaiah 53 that with his stripes we're what? We're healed. We're healed. Spiritually, once we were dead in trespasses and sin, we were bound by the sins of this world. We were sickened by the sins of this world. And you and I have been spiritually healed, given the victory through Jesus Christ. Thankfully today, we can be assured that we have victory over the devil. And as our text reminds us that we can have victory over death, as he said there in verse 54, that death is swallowed up or consumed or taken away in victory. And that victory is brought about through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus also taught during his earthly ministry and the great miracles that he performed that there was no defilement whatsoever that the Lord Jesus could not give us victory over? Whether it be the defilement of temptation or this world. Think about this as the Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter number 5 when he said, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Do we need victory over this world system today? Sure we do. Every born-again child of God needs victory over this current age in which we're living in. That's why the Bible says that we're not to make friendship with the world. That's why the Bible says that we're not to be conformed to this world. That's why the Bible tells us that we're not to love the world nor the things that are in the world. God wants us to have victory over this current age in which we're living in. And he said that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are also reminded that we are given victory over the flesh. Over worry, over doubt, over fear, over anger, bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness, and anything that plagues our life, God assures us that through Christ Jesus, you and I can experience the victory. How do we obtain this victory? How do we obtain this victory? As our text reminds us, where is thy victory? Well, I'll tell you, my victory is in Christ. That is the way today that I spell victory, not V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Hey, I realize that's the way you spell it. I remember years ago when I played football, we had inside the locker room, we had a couple of words up there on the door, and as we'd go out of the locker room, one of them was win and the other one was victory. And we used to go through there, I guess it was something superstitious that we used to do, but everybody would go up there and pat the top of the door as we'd go by, and we'd hit the win sign or the victory sign, and we'd go out and didn't mean we'd always win. A lot of times we lost, but we were always hitting that. I'm glad today that we don't have to rely upon something like that. We've got one who is real and alive, and that has assured us that the victory is in him. And that you and I as believers today, that we are more than conquerors through him. That's Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. As we take this word Christ today as an acronym, there's several ways here that you and I can enjoy the blessings of a victorious Christian life day in and day out. You and I, that we can experience victory over the sins that plague our lives and the things that plague us and keep us from being all that we should be for the Lord. God assures us this victory. It all begins with Christ. We look at the first letter of this acronym, and that's the letter C. C. C stands for conversion and the changed lifestyle. Now realize this morning that if we want real victory, if we want victory over this world, if we want victory over our emotions and this old flesh, if we want victory over the devil and the demonic powers of this earth, it's going to come by true conversion and a changed lifestyle. As Paul wrote in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 17, new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What does he say? He's talking about the victory that we have in Christ. The victory in Christ that comes at salvation. Today, I can experience the wonderful life of victory over my old ways, over my old life. Hey, I'm not, as you've heard me say many times before, I may not be the man that I ought to be, but thank the good Lord that I'm not what I used to be. The Lord is still working in my life. He's still working to bring about that change in my life, that miraculous work of giving me the victory over sin and over the world and over this flesh and over the devil and over temptation every day of my life. Do I still have to contend with the old ways? I do. And so do you. We still, even though God has saved our soul and has established eternal life in us, every one of us today that are born of God and have been saved by the marvelous grace of God, we are enjoying the blessings of eternal life now. We don't have to wait to eternity to enjoy that. But that doesn't mean that we still don't have struggles. As a child of God and as a believer, yes, I'm faced with the same struggles and the same trials and the same temptation that I faced before I was born again, before I was saved. But thanks be unto God, I have been given the victory over those things and over the old life. That's why the Bible reminds us that we're to put off the old man with his deeds. What enables us to do that? Strength to do the things that we ought to do rather than the things that we want to do. You know, there's a lot of things that this old flesh wants to do. You've heard me say this many times before that, you know, I don't always feel like coming to church. I don't always feel like reading my Bible. I don't always feel like praying. I don't always feel like knocking on doors or passing out gospel tracts, or I don't always feel like living the right kind of life. But that's something that God has enabled me with Christ's help to overcome, because I know how I'm supposed to live. I know what God wants me to do. And I know that God will bless the life, and that means my life, as long as I will serve Him and live the type of life that I'm supposed to live. So we find if we want victory, it begins with true conversion and that changed life that comes about at salvation. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 3. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." The Lord said, you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. You'll never know and experience genuine, full-hearted, glorious, victorious living in your life until you have been saved. Why do some people today continue to struggle over and over and over again? I'm not saying that as Christians we won't have struggles, because we will. I'm not saying that we won't face difficulties and trials and temptation and even the testing of our faith. But God assures us victory. I believe many today that are looking for victory in their lives over certain areas and avenues of their life, they're not finding that victory because they do not know Christ as their personal Savior. You'll never know true and genuine victorious living until you know Christ as your personal Savior. Conversion and the changed life is where victory begins. Then we look at the letter H. H in spelling victory through Christ. The H stands for holiness. For holiness. If we do experience victory in our walk with God, it requires holiness. It requires a life that is lived above reproach. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Philippians chapter 2 in verse 14 and 15 when he said that we are to do all things without murmuring and disputing. Now I realize that there's some people have difficulty in doing that. Living a life without murmuring and complaining. Hey, I'm one of those. I like to murmur and complain. When things aren't going right, when I don't feel good. Oh, well, woe is me. We're all that way. But the Bible says we're to do all things without murmuring and disputing, that we may be harmless and blameless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the Lord. What is the Lord saying? If we want victory, then we're going to have to live that unblemished and unblameable lifestyle, a life of true holiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says this, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. He said, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. A life, a clean life, a holy life. If we are to experience the victory that God has for us, yes, it's going to require conversion and that changed life, but it's going to require a life given over to a holy life, living that life consecrated to God and in His service. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness which without no man shall see the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and 16 says this, but as ye have been called, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. And when he says conversation there, he's talking about our lifestyle. Our lifestyle, our mannerism, the way that we live should be a life above reproach. And if you and I are going to experience the joy and the blessedness of victorious Christian living in and through Christ Jesus over the trials and temptations and the testing of our faith and all the things that plague our lives, the strongholds that bind us, then we must live that holy life. He goes on to say in verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Why does God want us to live holy lives? Because He lives a holy life. And He expects you and I to do the very same. Holiness. The R stands for resist or resistance. If we want victory in our lives, we must learn to resist. That's difficult for some. Some people do not have the character and they don't have the spiritual strength to say no to themselves. Resist. To resist. The word resist means to withstand the force of, the effect of, the influence of, and the advances of. Means to withstand. Or to stand against it. The word resist also means to oppose. To literally to stand up in opposition or against. And the Bible says that that's what we're to do. We're to do that over the advancements of the devil. Do you realize the devil is out to get you? Now I realize for some you just kind of brush that off. But I'm going to tell you, The devil is working in some of your lives this morning. The devil's trying to work in my life this morning in various ways. And the only way that you and I can put the devil on the run, as I preached a message several years ago, of putting the devil on the run is by resisting him. You know, as Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 26, when he says there, he reminds us, he said, about that. He said, neither give place to the devil. Let him that sin no more. But he said there in verse 26 that we're not to give place to the devil. That means to give access to the devil in our lives. Peter, as the Lord Jesus, you remember the Lord Jesus said to Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Peter had the Lord on his side. Peter had the Lord there enabling him to give him the victory over the devil. But what happened? Peter gave place to the devil. Peter allowed himself to be used of the devil, and therefore he denied the Lord Jesus as Jesus had said. Let me say this morning that you and I, yes, we cannot be possessed by the devil, but we can be used by him. And the only way to have victory over the devil is to resist him, to oppose him, to take a stand against him. That's why Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You want victory in your life? Put on the whole armor of God. As the Bible says there, that we're to put on that whole armor of God that we may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, he said, stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication with the Spirit. That's the way that we withstand. That's the way that we get victory over the devil, is by withstanding him. Resisting him, opposing him, not giving place to. James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's something that many Christians fail to do, is by yielding or submitting themselves to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. The Bible said, resist the devil. You know, it's so much easier to just give in to the devil, isn't it? It's just so much easier to give in to opposition until the real trouble comes. Hey, I don't want the trouble that's going to come along with the devil. I hope you don't either. I hope you want victory over the devil. The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll do what? He'll flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. In other words, the closer we get to Christ, the closer we're going to get to God, and the safer of a life we're going to have and a more victorious life we're going to have the closer we get to Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. A verse in which we all know very well. When Peter describes here, when he says, be sober. Means to be of your right mind and right thinking. Be sober, be vigilant. Be one that is aware. Aware of things that are going on. Be watchful, be mindful. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse number 9 of 1 Peter 5 says this, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Let me ask you today, are you getting the victory over the devil? If you're not getting victory over the devil today, it may be that you're not resisting him, but you're actually giving place to the devil. I think of a great illustration of this resistance comes in the life of Joseph. We know Joseph had encountered many troubles and trials along the way. after revealing his dream to his family, to his brothers, and how his brothers despised him for that, and how they had sold him into bondage, and about his whereabouts and about his existence and all of these things. And in a process of time, we find that Joseph finds himself at Potiphar's house. And Potiphar, who had a beautiful wife, she was a temptress. And she tried to tempt Joseph into luring him into immorality, into things that he knew was wrong and that was sinful. And what does the Bible say? The Bible said Joseph fled. He resisted. He resisted. Sometimes that resistance means that we may have to get up and flee. We may have to get up and run from the presence of it. And there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, but that's what Joseph did. So we've seen this morning, if we are to experience victory and where that victory lies in our life and where it is, we find there it's in Christ. C stands for conversion and a changed life. H stands for holiness. R stands for resistance. But if we want genuine and true victory in our lives, the I stands for integrity. Integrity. The word integrity means the quality of being honest. You want victory? You've got to be honest. First of all, you've got to be honest with yourself. I believe there's so many today that are deceiving themselves. That's why the Bible says that we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. We deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves. And we do it so often that's sad to say that we've even come to believe our own lies. That's the reason why some will not get victory. Some are trying to convince themselves, maybe this morning, maybe here in this service, or maybe listening by internet or some other way, that they may be trying to convince themselves that, hey, everything's right between me and God. And I'm not here as your judge. I'm not here as one that will condemn you, because I don't know your relationship between you and God. The only one that I know the relationship I know whether I'm right with God or whether I'm wrong with God. But sad to say, there are many today that are trying to deceive their own hearts and deceive their own lives by saying, hey, everything's okay, when it's really not. Only God knows that. God knows your heart. You may think, oh, everything's okay with me in the church. Everything's okay with me and my family. Everything's okay. We've got to first be honest with ourselves. We've got to be honest with others. We're to speak the truth in love. And then we've got to be honest with God. If we want victory, we've got to be honest. That's what integrity is. The quality of being honest and having strong moral convictions and principles. Moral uprightness. In other words, we've got to live right. We want victory in our lives. We've got to live right. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and what doeth it not, to him is what? Sin. It is sin. And there are many people today that their lives are being conquered and overcome by sin of all kind. Their lives are plagued with sins and strongholds that you can't get the victory over. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with others and be honest with God. God knows your heart. The psalmist said in Psalms 25, verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. In other words, what was he saying? He's talking about victory. In that same text, in verses 17 through 21, David there is talking and describing the encounter that he was having with his enemies. But also he was describing his emotions as well. Let me ask you today, have you got enemies that you need victory over? What about the devil? What about the world? What about the flesh? Yeah, you've got enemies. Sometimes they come in the form of people. Have you got enemies? Yes. That need to be conquered, that need to be overcome, that you need victory in. A life of integrity. A life of integrity. David was praying victory over his enemies, but he was also praying for victory over his emotions. Because he realized that some of his emotion, his feelings about his enemies may not have been perfectly right. Do we have emotions sometimes of things that we shouldn't have? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it unforgiveness? Is it things in our life that plague us, that keep us from experiencing other victories in our lives? Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." Proverbs 19, verse 1, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in lips and is a fool." You want to get victory over your lips, over your words, over your conversation? Integrity. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes here about all the things that God has given us that pertain unto life and godliness. And then he says that we're to add to our faith, the second step. We're to add to our faith virtue. That's moral uprightness. That's integrity. Let me say this morning that if we want victory, that victory's found in Christ. That's conversion and a changed life. That's holiness. That's resisting the things of this world and the devil. That's a life of integrity. But we find the letter S. And S stands for sacrifice. Sacrifice. If we want to experience genuine victory, it requires sacrifice. We think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. Think about it. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He sacrificed it all. He left the portals of glory. He left His home in heaven, His Father in heaven, to come here to dwell on this earth as a pauper for 3.5 years, to be falsely accused, mocked and ridiculed, stripped naked and hung on an old rugged cross, suspended between heaven and earth for you and me. He shed His life's blood for us that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. What a sacrifice. A sacrifice is a surrendering or giving up of a possession or giving up of one's life. It means to make an offering to God. It means to give up something of great value to you. Think about what Jesus gave up. Let us ask ourselves today, what have we given up on behalf of Christ? What have you and I given up that we might experience the victory that we need in Christ Jesus? Have we given up much? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living," what? Sacrifice. You know what God wants us to do? God wants us to be able to, He wants us to give our lives to Him. He wants us to give our lives unto Him. And if we're going to experience that great victorious power in and through Christ Jesus, you and I are going to have to sacrifice. We're going to have to be willing to give something up of great value, which is our life. We're going to have to be willing to lay down our lives as well for Him. But not in death, but in service. Remember, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In Luke chapter 14, if you reminded there, when as Luke was writing there, he said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Are we willing to sacrifice everything? Are we willing to lay down our lives for Christ? Are we willing to give up our families for Christ? That may be the only thing that stands between the victory that God wants you to have is your unwillingness to give everything up for Him. In verse 33, listen to these words, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he have, he cannot be my disciple." I'm not saying that God expects us to give everything over to Him, everything, literally. The Bible reminds us He's given us all things richly to enjoy. But yes, God wants us to be willing to give everything to Him. My hands are yours. My eyes are yours. My mind is yours. My feet are yours. My legs are yours. My body is yours. My heart, my ears, my voice, my eyes are yours. When we are willing to lay it all, my family is yours, my job is yours, my home is yours, my car is yours, my bank account is yours, everything belongs to you. We'll begin to see more victories in our lives when we are willing to do that. We come to the last letter in the acronym on spelling victory in Christ. C is for the conversion and a changed life. H for holiness, R for resistance, I for integrity, S is for sacrifice. But last but not least, the T in victory stands for total commitment. If we want genuine victory in our lives over these things that we've talked about, over darkness, the sins, and the strongholds that bind our lives, over the depths, the storms that we encounter. God says, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're more than victor. There's not one thing that God, through Christ Jesus, will not give us victory over. Total commitment. The word commitment means the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or a person. Loyal or loyalty. Dependable, faithful, and trustworthy. I'm not asking a soul here to be loyal to me. I'm not asking a soul to be loyal to Lighthouse Baptist Church, to be dependable, faithful, or trustworthy to me or this church. But God expects you to be that way toward Him. I think about that commitment. I think about David as a shepherd boy in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You remember as David's father had sent him to go check out his brothers and to make sure that they were cared for and they had what they need. And you remember as David approached his brothers and he saw the Philistines there, and he saw the Israelites and how fearful and afraid they were. And you remember as David approached his brothers and he asked them, he said, who is this champion? Who is this Philistine that defies the army of the living God? You remember the words of David when he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Do you know why David beat Goliath that day? You say, well, he picked up 5 smooth stones out of the brook. I'll tell you why David won that day. I'll tell you why David, the shepherd boy, why he came out victorious over the great champion called Goliath. It was because David was committed to the cause. The cause. Folks, we have a cause, a purpose. And if we want victory, as a believer in Christ, we've got to be totally committed to the cause. Psalms 37, the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Here's the key. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. You know why many are not totally committed to the Lord? Is because they don't trust in Him. You don't really have faith in Him. The Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In other words, He's going to give you victory when we trust in Him. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting what? Strength. Or He's saying there, to trust in the Lord is everlasting victory. Victory. That's why Job, and all the troubles and trials that he went through, that's why Job could say in chapter 15 and verse number 13, when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Yet will I trust in him. God, even if you kill me, I'm still going to trust you. Why? Because Job knew the victory was his. And that victory was through the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, do you need victory in your life? Is there something or someone that seems to be overtaking you, that is conquering you, that is overcoming you, that is preventing you from doing what God wants you to do and what God wants you to be? God doesn't want it to be that way. God wants you to experience the victory. Victory. That victory is in Christ. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. I realize he's talking about death. I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I don't have to worry about dying. I don't have to be fearful of that dark day of death one day when it comes knocking at my door. I don't have to fear it. That's why the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We don't have to fear it. Why? Because the victory's been won. Jesus said there in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, and am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and of hell. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm victorious over death. I'm victorious over hell, and I'm victorious over the grave. I'm going to tell you, when the ladies went to that tomb that morning, on that Easter morning, very early in the morning, that Sunday morning, and they found the sepulcher empty, I believe the angels were singing that day, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Glory. Victory's been won. I'm glad that I can have that victory. I'm glad God wants me to have that victory. And God wants you to have it as well. Every day. Every day. He don't want us to walk around with our heads hung low. He doesn't want us to walk around wringing our hands in worry and fear and doubt. He wants us to stand tall and strong and powerful. Why? Because of Him. I can do all things, that's victory, through Christ which strengtheneth me. Have you got the victory this morning? Think about this, that one phrase, O death, O death, where is thy victory? Where is your victory this morning? If it's not in Christ, you'll never have the victory that you could know in knowing Jesus as your personal Savior and living for Him every day. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the great victory that we have in the Lord Jesus. There's so many things, Lord, I think personally in my life that plague, that I struggle with day in and day out. Lord, I know the way of victory. Many times I fail. Many times I yield. I yield rather to You. I yield to the ways of the world, and I yield to this flesh. And Lord, I sometimes I even yield to the devil. Lord, I'm not here to justify my actions. Lord, I'm here to confess those things. And Lord, I pray that you would give me victory, give me strength to overcome. And Lord, I know where that victory comes from. Help me to be more dependent, more reliable, more faithful, more dedicated, more committed unto you, I pray. Lord, I know that others have the same struggles that I have. I pray that that integrity would come across in their lives today and right now especially, that they would be honest with themselves. Lord, if we've sinned and we've fallen away from you, I pray that we would confess that sin because you promised that you'll forgive us and you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us today to be honest with you. And Lord, know that you'll give us the victory through it. Father, we love you because you first loved us. Bless this invitation now, we pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What number?